Welcome to an extra special midweek edition of the Rock M podcast, or the 40 minutes, or the fastest 40 minutes in podcasting, or what was the other one? Rock M P3 Nation.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that one, it's starting to grow on me. I liked the fastest 40 minutes thing at first, but that's very basketball themed. Rock M P3 Nation is starting to get me, I think.
All right. Very vague, and I know that's what you're looking for.
Exactly. With me is not Ross, is not Seth. We've got an all-star pinch hitter here. This is he goes on the blog by GHT D36, as he will be known for the next 20 minutes or so. He's Greg. Say hi.
Hey. Well, thanks for having me on, and I apologize in advance.
No, the only reason you would need to apologize is if you bring some semblance of order and rationality to these things.
So, Thank God. The weight has just been lifted off my shoulders.
Yeah, the more disorganized, the better. That seems to be what the people call for. And that's, we're all about giving the people what they want. So,
exactly.
All right. Well, I guess our first topic for today is simply championship week. We're in the middle of it. And the Big 12 tournament started today. So even though, Ross and I covered a lot of our predictions and things on Monday, are there any impressions you've gotten so far, either in Big 12 or any of the other major conference tournaments that have started yet, which I guess is basically Big East?
Really, it's been pretty ho-hum. obviously, the DePaul win over Cincinnati was pretty impressive, but Providence ended up knocking them out today, and that was a win. You know, they need it. They're firmly, on the very, very outside of the bubble, and they were going to get it's not exactly a vote of confidence when you lose to DePaul, if you're Providence. So, that's a decent win for them, and now they get their shot. Basically, they get their shot. If they knock off Louisville, then they're pretty much in, as far as I can tell. And as far as the Big 12 is concerned, you've got to say it's a big disappointment for Nebraska to lose to Baylor in the first round. I thought the Huskers were better than Baylor, but that just tells you what a team's made of when they're coming into a postseason tournament for the first time in a long time, or for the second time in a long time.
Yeah, Baylor. Oh, sorry. I was going to say Baylor is, I think I called them the crazy guy in the fight the other day. It's like, that's Bill Simmons' line about Golden State. Like, they're not good, but at any given point, if the threes start falling, you want nothing of them. And it seemed like they caught fire there, especially, mid second half, and Nebraska just said, yeah, we're screwed. Is that,
oh, no.
Nebraska's,
oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially, with that team really revolves around Curtis Jarrells. And when he's good, the Bears are good. And when he's bad, the Bears they're bad. I mean, they really can't do anything. And, he dropped 19 on them, and I think he went 8 for 10 today. So when you can get production like that from arguably your best player, then that's going to get you a win in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Second round, probably not. But
yeah.
First round.
Yeah, I saw Jarrells make a falling down three-pointer earlier today. That's when you know it's Baylor's day. I just looked at the box score. I did not realize that Baylor out-rebounded Nebraska 41-17.
If you look at the fact that really they only had one, that Dagunduro was the only one who could rebound for them today. and Baylor, you don't look at Baylor and think, oh, well, they're a great rebounding team. They're usually a shooter from outside type team, but Kevin Rogers, a Dallas product, South Oak Cliff, I believe, 20 rebounds. Anytime you pull down 20 rebounds and, you out rebound an entire
team,
you're doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, Baylor's not going to beat Kansas. I realize that, but I mean, if they can go 7 for 17 and rebound really well, and if Kevin Rogers and Josh Lomers can do anything near their 21 points and 25 rebounds that they got today, they'll have a fighting chance. But
they'll have their shot at around the 10-minute mark of the second half to make a run and maybe get ahead of Kansas. But that's asking for a lot.
Maybe. Like we were saying earlier in the week, Kansas had their wake up call last week, and I don't really see them slipping up. But otherwise, yeah, it's been a pretty pretty dull championship week, which, is, I mean, it usually is at this stage in the game. We did have the St. John's and DePaul upsets. DePaul was great, but then they went out and fell apart there the last 5 or 6 minutes, and St. John's just got crushed by Marquette. But, yeah, I mean, the only, as far as the bubble goes, Oklahoma State won. Providence, yeah, I think they're out right now, but if they beat Louisville, they're in. I mean, that's that they beat, who was it, Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago when they were number one. If they can take out the number one seed in the Big East as well, I think they go straight from out to in, and somebody like a, I don't know, who's right on that borderline, a San Diego State or something like that.
Right.
They're out now.
San Diego State or Creighton or somewhere.
Right.
Someone along those lines lose those spots. Which, by the way, I don't think there's anybody in who likes Butler right now, outside of Butler fans.
Oh, I love them.
I mean, really, anybody who is on the bubble that just crushed your dreams because they've got to get in.
Yeah.
They absolutely have to get in. They're good enough to get in, and you were just kind of hoping that they take that automatic bid, but now, wow, the bubble just got smaller.
Yeah, it's to the point where every team that's right on that bubble cutoff, I hate. I can't really make a case for them. I can just make a case against them. And so here, this is the point in championship week where I start rooting for upsets and everything. I want Rice to win the Conference USA. I want I don't want SLU. Say St. Joseph's to win the A-10. I want those bubble slots to get eaten up. And you know, I realize Jay Billis wants more of the major conference teams in, but if they don't deserve it, they don't deserve it. And
I don't think Jay Billis knows what he wants.
Apparently he changed his mind mid-Saturday.
Exactly. You know, that's a great point that you look at, you know, the people on the bubble and you go down the list. For example, the last four in that Lenardi has right now are New Mexico, South Carolina, Penn State, and Arizona.
I think the only ones that I disagreed on with Lenardi is I had, I guess it was San Diego State in, and he had New Mexico, who wasn't even on the bubble. They go straight from off the bubble to in. I don't really understand how that works.
Yeah, that's, you know, Lenardi catches a lot of crap. And I generally like him. I think he does a pretty good job. But there are some times when he'll just leave you scratching your head going, really? Like, you're gonna put Penn State in? You know, what kind of state that? But, you know, regardless, the Butler loss is just crippling.
Yeah.
For teams like St. Mary's
and Penn State. And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That just kills them. So, but otherwise, I mean, championship week thus far. Now, obviously we're only a day into it, but championship week's been relatively ho-hum.
Yeah, and usually it's like with the NCAA tournament. If we had a bunch of upsets today, that would mean a bunch of horrible matchups with high seeds tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so it's either you either get your upsets now or in the next day or two, but you really don't get them both. So, I mean, I think we can save them till later in the week when some one seeds can go down. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I'd rather see, you know, the top two teams in the conference go at it for the outright, you know, conference title than see, you know, some Cinderella story, like if DePaul had made it to the Big East championship game. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see DePaul in any sort of game that has any sort of relevance to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I like the Cinderellas. It's just I hate the 1-versus-12 matchups in the finals or something where,
sure,
you know, the year Missouri made the finals back in, I think it was 97 against Kansas, they made this Cinderella run from a really low seed, and then on the fourth game in 4 days, they had to play one of the best Kansas teams ever, and they lost by 30. And so, exactly. If you're going to make the finals, you better win, because I don't want to ruin a finals game by having some, you know, 75-40 game, which is usually what happens.
Unfortunately, yeah. You know, I want to see Duke North Carolina in the ACC title game. You know, I don't want to see North Carolina play. I don't even know who the worst team in the ACC is.
Georgia Tech this year.
Georgia Tech. I don't want to see, you know, the fighting Bobby Cremins come in and play, you know, Tyler Hansbrough.
I don't know. They have this kid. I think his name's Stephon Marbury. I heard he's pretty good.
Yeah, I heard he got a tattoo on his head.
That's
so,
right.
Outside of that, you know, championship week really, you know, it's been relatively boring. But hopefully it'll pick up tomorrow, especially now that, you know, another thing, Oklahoma State just wrapped up a win over Iowa State, and despite a nice game from Iowa State's Brackens, but that all of a sudden, you know, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State in Oklahoma City, I am okay with that. That makes me smile.
Yeah, OU won both games this year, but they were both, I mean, single digits. They only won by four at home last week. And I still, everybody's back on OU, and I mean, maybe everybody's right and I'm wrong. I don't trust OU right now. I mean, the thing about Oklahoma State is you really don't know, you know, they're not a big team, but, I mean, they rely a lot on, you know, the guards scoring, the outside shooting, things like that. You really never know when that's going to dry up. I mean, they were 10 for 26 from three today. That helps. But,
oh, yeah, that does. That'll do wonders for your confidence. But they, you know, Oklahoma State, they've got a shot, and especially I feel like Oklahoma is the type of team that if they get down and you get them down by, like, 8, 10, maybe 12 points, like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They kind of get flustered, and they're like, well, just throw it into Blake. And then, you know, if you get to the point where you have to throw it into Griffin, you're not, you know, that's you can't win like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, if Oklahoma State, with that pace, if that pace can finally get to them, like Mizzou was able to get it to Oklahoma, if they can take it to them, you know, they got a shot, but I don't know. I'm thrilled with the fact that it's a neutral site, just right smack dab, basically, well, not in between, but sort of in between.
Basically, yeah.
Basically.
And I'm just thrilled that for the first time since 1999, Missouri's not playing on the first day of the Big 12 tournament.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. I enjoyed today.
It's so unfamiliar.
Like, oh, I want to watch some basketball.
And Missouri's not on.
I know. I don't have to worry. Like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes, like, before the day of the Kansas game, I woke up and I was just like, oh, God, I don't know if I can take it today. Just, you know, I don't really want to stress. I wish it were tomorrow. But, you know, today was glorious. I got to watch all these other teams go and play for me. They entertained me.
And one last word before football, I will say as well, to Texas Tech out there, if you want to go ahead and beat A&M tonight, I'm
that
cool.
That would be terrific.
I would love the opportunity to have beaten all 11 other Big 12 teams in the same season, you know, and get revenge on A&M and all that. But at the same time, if you guys want to take them out and we just have to settle for playing Tech again, I'll live.
Dang.
So,
well,
go for it.
Yeah, that's one I will be keeping an eye on, most definitely. Especially, they've got Voskel, and if Voskel can light it up, they've got a shot. Otherwise, they're going to get beat by 12.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the latter, but I'm hoping for the former. All right, so moving on to spring football practice. We haven't touched this in a podcast yet, or at least, I don't know what's coming out of my mouth or what I'm talking about. Spring practice started recently. We've got a deluge of articles now from Dave Matter and Gabe DeArmond and all the usual suspects that I love having back in my life now. It's, you know, pretty obvious that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to the quarterback battle. But I guess quarterbacks aside, what are you paying attention to most this spring when it comes to Missouri?
A few positions. You know, one of the things I really, you know, you don't want to say you like it or you're happy that it happened, but I'm sort of happy that Jared Perry and Denario Alexander are not going to participate in spring practice, or at least not from what I can tell, not right now.
Right,
they're on the injured list. I'd really like to see what Rolandus Woodland can do. I mean, that's a big wide receiver. You know, at 6'3". And somebody that could maybe replace, Denario Alexander whenever he moves on. Like to see, you know, the weapons kind of develop around these guys. And more than anything, I would love it if Devin Moore challenged Derek Washington for the starting tailback job. That would make my spring.
I will absolutely agree about the wide receivers. I think I said in something a few months ago that Denario Alexander is a great number two receiver, but I don't think he's a number one. And I think Jared Perry is a great number three receiver, but not a good number two, which means we need another number. We need a number one. There are very much known quantities. So yeah, it's going to be kind of nice to see Woodland and Wes Kemp and John McGaffey, G-A-H-N's pronounced John apparently. And Jarrell Jackson.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you, I read that somewhere. I don't know where. So
I refuse to believe it, Mr. Gann.
It's Gann McGaffey, yeah. That is more fun to say, but Yeah, I'd like to see those four, especially with Gabbard. I mean, he's been throwing to them for the last year, pretty much. I mean, they all came in together. You know, they practiced a lot together. And it's time to not only develop chemistry for 09, which is still important, and Alexander and Perry will still have a role to play in that. But with those guys and Andrew Jones and Michael Agnew, it's time for Gabbard to develop a really good rapport with all these guys who came in at the same time and really could well, they're going to define the next two or three years of Missouri football, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they've got. I'm not optimistic about. I like Moore as a number two. I think he'd make a good number two, unless of course Kendall God Lawrence comes in, and
he could. He's probably listening right now.
That's right. He's going to rush for 4,000 yards his freshman year
in the first game.
Kendall four Heismans Lawrence.
That'll be. It could happen. And especially, you know, another thing on the defensive side I'm looking forward to seeing is there are two big players really you've got to replace on the defensive side, especially up front. You've got to replace Stryker Schulock, and you'd like to replace Ziggy Hood. Now these are two guys who were great for Mizzou and did great things. And you don't expect, you know, somebody like Terrell Rizzono, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, to come in and immediately replace him. But at the same time, you'd like to see something that says, all right, we've got, you know, a long term solution at up front, because, you know, especially in the Big 12, which is getting more and more pass happy, you'd love to be able to keep what you've had as a pretty consistent pass rush the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the pass rush. I think Jacquees and Brian Coulter and hopefully Alden Smith, we'll get to see a lot of him this spring. I think the pass rush is going to be solid, but the D-tackles are what are important. It's kind of like they say, you know, your up-the-middle defense in baseball is what's most important with catcher and the, you know, middle infield and center field. It's kind of the same way with football. How good are your defensive tackles, your middle linebacker, and your safeties? And we know about our linebackers.
Oh, we're pretty much set at linebacker.
We're good there, and we're starting to actually get a deep linebacker core for the first time in a long time. But a D tackle, you know, if Jaron or Jaron Baston can do a Ziggy Hood impersonation, and then Rizzono can come in and do a Baston impersonation, that would be lovely. I mean, we also have, you know, guys like Dominique Hamilton and Andy Maples, who is, you know, the big 4-star kid and hasn't been heard from since, pretty much. And Jimmy Burge, the redshirt freshman, if one of those guys can step up and we have a nice little 3-man rotation, that can just suffice against the run well enough to accentuate what I think is going to be a pretty good pass rush. I like to see that. I guess the other thing on defense is, we might not see a lot of this in the spring, but simply what's different under Dave Steckel? You know, he's a Marine. he's the most kind of aggressively, his personality is the most aggressive of any of the Gary Pinkel assistants. And while, I mean, he and Matt Eberflus both came up under Gary Pinkel, they're both Pinkel guys, and, you know, they agree on the same way of, you know, what's the best way to play defense. But, you know, how will blitzes be different? What kind of coverages? Will it be tighter coverages? It will just be kind of meaner and dumber is kind of the way I was putting it. Under Steckel, I'm very curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, that's you know, let's see if there's a shift in philosophy,
right,
or what they're going to do. And really, he's got some. The nice thing is, Steckel's got some good, at least from, you know, the outside looking in, some good raw talent to work and to shape into what he wants. The one guy I would look at and say, all right, this could be his quote unquote project would be Kenji Jackson. He's got athleticism out the wazoo, and which I've never understood. Is that out to Washington State, or because
it's
out Washington?
It's
State?
out of Washington, out of the Washington State. It's like Ohio State, the Washington.
Gotcha.
State.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, but Kenji Jackson is a phenomenal athlete, and I just love to see what kind of stuff that he can do. What kind of stuff he can do with somebody like Kenji Jackson, who can move around, maybe isn't the best in coverage. We don't know yet, but I'd like to see what he can do with people like that. And, you know, the nice thing is you've got, like we said before, with the linebacking core, you've got a set, good set, you know, deep linebacking core that you really can just say, go do your thing, we're not going to worry about you.
Yeah, if Jackson were 1 inch taller, we wouldn't have gone to overtime with Northwestern. He just barely missed when he was leaving that ball in the back.
I was watching that in a bar. That was not...
I was watching that at home, and my wife was laughing at me because I was... anyway. It ended up a great memory, so we can, laugh about it now. Yeah, I think it's... There's plenty to pay attention to, and which is kind of neat because last year, in 08, we pretty much knew every starter at this point in last year, and it wasn't going to change. This year, I mean, clearly we want to be a potential 10-win team again, and, it's not impossible, but the odds are a little lower this year of that. But there's going to be a lot of intrigue, and, I'm going to be hoping that we can still fight for another North title, but mostly I'm going to be looking at, how good can this team be in 2010?
Right.
Take one step back and then come flying forward again. And so that's going to be my perspective for a lot of this. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I would love to see. It's the Texas Rangers fan in me that says, all right, if we do good this year, that's gravy. But 2010 is where we're looking.
Yeah, I'm a Pirates fan. I'm already 2012, baby. It's all about 2012.
Hey, Rinku and Dinesh?
I'm telling you. It's Harold and Kumar in the majors. all right, so then our last topic is we're sticking with spring football here, but outside of Missouri, we can talk about 2010 all we want, but for 2009, what are you paying attention to as far as other teams go, other position battles, or just teams trying to step forward? What's most interesting to you there?
Kansas's linebacker situation. They're gonna need some linebackers. at this point they could probably get the chance or just send out a mass email and says, hey, if you played, you can come out and try. Other people, there could be a really there's an interesting kind of quarterback thing going on down in Texas. I know they have Colt McCoy, he's come back at the same time. His name's escaping me for the moment.
Childs?
Childs, yeah. There's a lot of rumblings that, hey, we're wasting Childs away when he's a super athlete. And, obviously, you're not going to complain when your quarterback Colt McCoy, although would we have said that a year ago now? I don't think we would have. But, there are people who want to get him more involved. Maybe we're on a two-quarterback system. I'd love to see, especially if especially what's going to happen there. See if, Mac Brown's never been one to do the two quarterback situation, even though he should have when Major Applewhite was there. But, maybe you'll see, does Will Muschamp maybe kind of start moving and start making more executive decisions around there since he is head coach in waiting?
Yep.
And should see that. There are position battles all over the place, but I'm just keeping an eye out on that sort of stuff. As well as, I'd love to see what's going on in Nebraska. This is supposed to be the year that Nebraska's back. I would need to see something in spring practice that would make me say, whoa, we need to start watching out for Nebraska before I leave.
Yeah, that's been every year since they weren't back, since they were here to begin with. Every year since 97 has been the next breakthrough year, yeah.
Every year since they left.
Yeah, I think Nebraska is the most interesting because Kansas is – I'm not going to say they're going to win the North because, A, they're Kansas and, screw them. But B, they really, really do have a tough Big 12 schedule and they have no linebackers. So, they've got obstacles of their own, but clearly they have the most returning talent. And I expect them – they should be the preseason favorites. People are still going to pick Nebraska, though, in some cases, because they're Nebraska. They've lost as much on offense as Missouri did, as far as, their quarterback, their two best receivers. Roy Helu Jr. was as good or better than Marlon Lucky at the end of the year, so I don't think Lucky's a big loss. But, they lost a couple offensive linemen. They have a lot to replace, and, there's no telling whether they have a good receiver, and they have a brand-new quarterback. It's either going to be that JUCO Zach Lee, I think,
mm-hmm.
or any number of freshmen or redshirt freshmen, and that's going to be they're going to have to prove something. That everybody's going to assume they're back, and it kind of works against them because if everybody starts assuming that and they're in, and yet again they are not, and they go 8-4 again or 7-5, then eventually you have to figure that people are going to give up on them. As far as, always being the right around the corner. Of course, nobody gives up on Notre Dame, so maybe I'm completely wrong in that.
Well, I did a long, long, long time ago. But
we don't count.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, another thing, I tell you what, if there's any team that needs to win this year, they live in Boulder.
Yeah.
Colorado has got to do something.
That's another team that that has been every media person's sleeper pick for the last 3 years, and they're not. Until they find a better quarterback than, you know, Cody, I'm Nick Nolte's son, Hawkins, you know, or what's the other guy, Tyler Hansen, don't call me Taylor.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they just.
I mean, that was hard, you know, I mean, that was hard for me to watch, just the abysmal quarterback play going on there. They just need somebody.
Yeah.
Please.
And I mean, I'm sure.
Look, as somebody who enjoys watching good football, please do something, be competitive, because 5-7, especially and 2-6 in conference, that's not going to cut it.
Losing 58-0 to Missouri is not going to cut it.
No, never. I don't care if, you know, I don't care if Missouri, you know, goes 13-0 and wins the national title. I really don't care actually about that. That'll be just fine. But the point is that you've got to do something, because especially because Daryl Scott's is it Daryl or Darrell?
I think it's Daryl.
Daryl Scott's clock is ticking. I mean, this was the guy who was supposed to turn around the program. Well, it's time. The time to turn it around is now. Otherwise, Coach Hawkins could be looking for another job.
Yeah, I'm going to give Scott the benefit of the doubt that maybe he was a bit hobbled last year, and that he'll come back and he'll be, you know, at least something resembling what everybody expected him to be. And you know, they'll have two really good sophomore running backs. But with what's the other one? Rodney Stewart.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great. And they have Josh Smith, who is a, you know, a bad defense killer, but who hasn't really stepped up and shown that he can kill a good defense. And then they've got, you know, Cody Hawkins and Taylor Hansen and Tyler Hansen, sorry. And everybody else. Yeah. I made the joke and then I accidentally said it anyway. There are still a whole lot of holes on their offense, and, you know, they're still behind Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska for sure. And, you know, they're at least, you know, K-State's better coached than them now. I don't know if K-State's going to have any talent ever, but they're going to be well coached. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the two teams in the North with new coaches.
Yeah.
Well, one new old coach and one new coach. It'll be really interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, I kind of thought there for a second that Iowa State could have been on the verge. They could have been on the verge of getting back to being respectable, getting back to being, you know, almost, you could call them pretty good. But now that Chizik has gone the way of Bobby Petrino, you never know what's going to happen up there. And the same goes with Kansas State. You can't really forecast anything, especially losing Freeman. Anytime you're getting a new coach and a new quarterback, it's a crapshoot.
Well, and I mean, the whole reason Bill Snyder retired in the first place was because he was getting out recruited by Gary Pinkel, and to an extent, Mark Mangino. There are so many recruits in the Kansas City area, and Pinkel was getting the Kaufmans and the Tony Temples. Snyder wouldn't get it. No matter how good a coach you are, if you're not getting the talent to compete, you're not going to win. And by the way, we are near 30 minutes, so we need to wrap this up. I just checked in, and Texas A&M is beating Texas Tech 9-0.
Yeah.
So I think, what was it? The latter was A&M winning by 20, yes, and the former was Tech winning. I think we're leaning towards the latter right now.
Yeah.
But let them shoot themselves out, and then, you know, shoot 25% tomorrow.
Hey, well, you know, yeah, that would be fine. If they could shoot, you know, they can shoot 80% today, if for all I care, as long as they shoot, you know, 14 tomorrow. And
correct.
The good thing is that now that Texas Tech is down big in presumably their last game of the season, Alan Voskel has the green light he could just throw it up from anywhere now.
Well, he's 0-2 so far. He's already taken two in the first 3.5 minutes, and he's missed them both, so they're in trouble.
Ooh, man. Not falling tonight.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're reaching the 30-minute mark, and the beef complained to me when we went 40 last a couple days ago, so I need to wrap this up so people don't stop paying attention. Although, how could you stop paying attention to us? People could listen to us talk all day.
This has been honestly the most thrilling 30 minutes of my life.
The fastest 30 minutes of internet?
It has flown by. It has flown by.
Well, we are much appreciative of Greg, GHTD36. I've gotten to where I can say that pretty quickly and accurately, I think, which I'm pleased with.
You know, the first time I ever came on a podcast, you nailed it the first time. And at that point, I said, all right, this boy guy, he's a keeper.
Well, we will, via your own request, you know, it's not a victory night, but via your own request, we came in on it and we will leave on the greatest song ever recorded, Brass Bonanza. Thank you very much.